The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really immersing ourselves in a piece of research that honestly did more than just win a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, yeah. It fundamentally shifted how we talk about poverty, about inequality in America.
Absolutely. We're talking about Matthew Desmond's huge work, Evicted: Poverty and Profit in the American City.
And this is such a crucial deep dive because Desmond, he sort of cuts through decades of, you know, political back and forth about poverty.
Right.
Our goal here is to unpack his central and I think really urgent argument. We tend to think of eviction as, well, a sad outcome of being poor, right? You run out of money, you lose your home.
That's the standard view.
Desmond just flips that completely. He argues that eviction isn't just a consequence. It's actually a primary active cause that systematically traps families, keeps them stuck in destitution.
It forces you to re-examine the very foundation of, like, economic stability in America. We focus so much on jobs, on education as the way out, but we miss this huge piece, housing instability. It's this ongoing, devastating barrier for millions of people every year if you don't have a stable place to live.
Everything else is undermined.
Yeah.
Every single effort.
Yeah. So before we get into the stories, maybe we should talk about Matthew Desmond himself, because his approach, his methods, they give this book incredible weight.
Definitely. He's the Maurice P. Turing Professor of Sociology at Princeton, a MacArthur Fellow.
Oh.
So he's got the academic credentials, the PhD, all that.
But what really makes Evicted stand out is how he did the research. It wasn't just data analysis from an office.
Not at all. He used what's called immersive ethnography. I mean, he didn't just study the data points. He went and lived the story.
He lived it. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. For 2 years, Desmond embedded himself right in Milwaukee's poorest neighborhoods. He lived first in this low-cost trailer park on the south side, and then later in a rooming house on the north side. And that field work was just essential. It gave him this crucial dual perspective.
Dual perspective? How so?
Well, he got the really intimate ground level stories, you know, the tenants facing loss, trauma. But he also got access to the landlords.
The other side of the coin.
The landlord's perspective. Their day-to-day economic thinking, the calculations they make.
That must have been tricky to balance the raw emotion and the, you know, hard numbers.
That balance is really the book's genius, I think.
Yeah.
He can describe the absolute heartbreak of seeing someone's life put out on the curb.
Yeah.
And in the next breath, cite the eviction records, the financial ledgers that show how that tragedy became, for someone else, a profitable business move.
Wow.
He weaves together that powerful human story with the cold, hard, quantitative data. It shows not just what's happening, but why the system allows it, even encourages it, to continue.
So, okay, what does all this intense research reveal then? What's the core premise of the book?
At its heart, Evicted is an exposé. It pulls back the curtain on America's deep housing crisis.
And shows how not having adequate shelter just systematically dismantles people's lives. It's like a domino effect, right?
Exactly. Instability hits kids' education hard.
Yeah.
It impacts adults' ability to hold down a job. It affects physical health, mental well-being, yeah, everything.
The core purpose, then, is to really shine a light on this hidden economic engine. How housing instability doesn't just track with poverty, it actively perpetuates it.
And crucially, how it generates significant profits for property owners, specifically in low-income areas.
Desmond's ambition seems pretty clear. He wants to shift the narrative away from blaming individuals.
Right, away from moral failure tropes.
Towards understanding it as structural economic exploitation.
Yeah. So the way he structures the book, he takes us on this journey. He starts with the tenants, their relentless struggle in Milwaukee, which he points out is one of the most segregated cities in the U.S.
He begins with these really intimate portraits of families just trying to pay rent, often a huge chunk of their income, for housing that's, well, often not in great shape.
We meet Arlene Bell first. She's a Black single mother, two sons. And her story, right away, just lays bare the impossible math poor mothers face every single day.
Rent or food?
Rent or food. The late fee or medicine for the kids. Her search for housing is this constant, exhausting effort. It just consumes all her energy, mental and emotional, leaves her totally drained.
And it's not just one group affected. He also introduces us to Scott Bunker. He's a white man dealing with disability, addiction issues. Mm. His story shows that it doesn't matter what your background is, really. Mm-hmm. A major life crisis hits you, lose your job, a medical bill you can't pay combined with low wages and sky-high rents.
And anyone can get sucked into that eviction vortex.
Exactly. And the numbers behind this precarity, what Desmond calls the squeeze, are just staggering.
They really are. Poor families often paying 70% to 80% of their income just for housing.
70 to 80%. Just pause on that for a second.
It's almost impossible to comprehend.
It means you are constantly, perpetually, one tiny emergency away from losing everything. A missed shift at work, your car breaks down, a child gets sick.
Boom. Financial ruin. It's not even just living paycheck to paycheck. It's like living minute to minute in this financial quicksand.
But okay, to really grasp the whole picture, we have to look at the other side. The people who are, in some cases, profiting from this instability.
Right. Desmond shifts the lens to the landlords. And for some of them, eviction isn't this tragedy. It's more like a transaction.
He profiles different types, sir.
Yeah, he contrasts people like Sharina Tarver. She's a black landlord, actually part of the community, but still incredibly business-focused, sometimes ruthless.
Okay.
With someone like Tobin Charney, a white trailer park owner who's completely detached. For him, it's purely a numbers game. Manage the asset, maximize return.
And the key insight here, which is pretty chilling, is that for certain landlords, eviction isn't the last resort. It's actually part of the business model.
How so? Explain that a bit.
Well, think about it. Evicting a tenant, even if they're only slightly behind, allows the landlord to potentially collect a new full security deposit from the next person.
Ah, plus application fees, maybe higher rent.
Exactly. And critically, it lets them avoid making costly repairs. They know someone else, desperate, will take the unit as is.
So eviction becomes a tool for extracting wealth from the poorest communities.
Yeah, and the process itself. Desmond describes housing court as incredibly swift, almost impersonal.
Cases decided in minutes, he says.
In minutes. And the system is overwhelmingly tilted towards the landlord. Tenants almost never have lawyers.
So justice is fast, but is it fair? Is it equitable? The book really makes you question that.
And then there's the aftermath. After the court, after the eviction order, Desmond looks at the lasting impact of being displaced.
He describes the set out so vividly.
It's brutal. A family's entire life, furniture, clothes, photos, everything just piled up on the curb for everyone to see.
The public shame, the total loss, it's hard to imagine.
The psychological toll must be immense, and the material consequences just keep rolling. Having that eviction on your record, Desmond calls it the Scarlet E.
The Scarlet E, because landlords screen for it, right? Makes finding another place incredibly difficult.
Almost impossible, which forces families into progressively worse situations, maybe more dangerous neighborhoods, maybe informal exploitative rental agreements.
It creates this downward spiral, a self-perpetuating cycle of instability.
And the impact on children. It's heartbreaking. Constant moves mean constantly changing schools.
Yeah, multiple schools in a single year sometimes. How can a kid succeed academically like that?
Let alone the psychological trauma of that constant upheaval.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize this. If we pull back a bit, what are the main themes, the big reframes Desmond offers?
Number one, and this is the absolute core, eviction is a cause of poverty.
Not just a symptom, not just a condition. It actively makes people poorer.
Right. It strips them of their few resources, their stability, destroys community connections, makes it harder to keep a job.
And why should you, the listener, care? Because if we actually treat the cause, this housing instability, we might have a real shot at solving poverty, not just, you know, managing the fallout.
Then theme number two really hits on the inequality baked into the system, the gendered and racialized nature of instability.
Desmond's data is stark here. It shows the disproportionate burden falling on women, specifically Black and Latina mothers.
He found that in Milwaukee, something like 1 in 5 Black women renters face eviction at some point.
1 in 5. That makes it a civil rights issue, fundamentally woven into the economics of housing.
And the third big theme forces us to confront a basic tension. Is housing a commodity just like anything else traded on the market, or is it a fundamental human right?
Because the current system, the market structure, it allows people to profit directly from the desperation of others.
Ensuring that the poorest people end up paying the highest percentage of their income for the absolute worst, most precarious housing conditions, it's completely backwards.
The book is also filled with these really powerful, concise lines that just stick with you. The language is as impactful as the data.
Definitely. Let's touch on a few of those. The first one is so simple, but devastatingly true. The rent eats first.
Yeah, that just instantly captures the survival hierarchy for people in deep poverty. Housing comes before everything. Food, healthcare, getting to work.
Because if you lose your home, you lose the foundation for everything else. You can't keep a job, kids can't stay in school.
Then there's the thesis, boiled down. Eviction is a cause, not just a condition, of poverty. If you remember one thing, maybe that's it.
That's the core challenge to how we usually think about it.
And this next one really challenges the narrative we're often fed. Exploitation. Now, there's a word that has been scrubbed out of the poverty debate.
Oof. Yeah. He's pushing us to look past just individual choices or bad luck.
And see the systemic economic extraction, the uncomfortable idea that some people's wealth is directly linked to keeping others trapped.
And finally, just the fundamental truth. Without stable shelter, everything else falls apart.
It's the bedrock. Okay, so how do we apply this? What are the real life takeaways? For listeners, maybe as citizens, as voters.
Well, first, maybe just cultivating empathy, moving beyond those easy judgmental stereotypes about why people are poor.
And then looking at local policies, things like zoning laws, tenant protection ordinances, supporting leaders who actually address housing affordability seriously.
But it's also super relevant in professional settings, right? For employers, for educators.
Absolutely. Understanding this crisis should change how you see things like employee performance or student struggles.
Right. Is that employee always late because they're disorganized? Or are they spending mornings in housing court? Is that student falling behind because they aren't trying or because they've moved three times this semester?
Recognizing that stability deficit allows for smarter responses. Maybe employers offer flexible scheduling or even small emergency housing loans. Knowing stable housing helps retain good employees.
And for schools, it means having systems ready to support kids experiencing that constant displacement, trying to maintain some educational continuity for them.
For me, the biggest takeaway was just how violent eviction feels in his descriptions, and yet how routine, how normalized it's become.
Yeah, it functions like this systematic disenfranchisement. It strips people of stability, community, dignity. It's a huge American crisis hiding right in front of us.
And that leads right into the lasting insight and maybe the glimmer of hope Desmond offers.
Mm-hmm.
This is solvable. He's not just diagnosing the problem, he's pointing towards solutions.
He argues strongly for structural changes, specifically things like universal housing vouchers.
Right, vouchers tied to the person, not the building, so they have real choice. And stronger legal protections for tenants.
The book basically proves, with overwhelming evidence, that housing policy is poverty policy, and we actually have the resources to fix this. We choose not to.
Which brings us to the final thought, maybe the provocative question to leave you with.
If a stable home is the necessary foundation for everything else we say we value in America, good schools, safe neighborhoods, economic opportunity, community.
Then what's the moral justification? What's the economic justification even for letting the market force the poorest people into the most expensive, most unstable housing situations? Why don't we treat housing as the fundamental human right it clearly is?
That's the question Desmond leaves us wrestling with.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.